All right. Well, we're continuing to talk about the heroes of faith whom we find in Scripture. Today, we're talking about doubt and belief, because today's hero of faith is the Apostle Thomas. And what Thomas's story shows us is that doubt is not necessarily a bad thing. It's okay to ask questions of our faith. And in fact, we see that when we act on doubt appropriately, that's the key, when we act on doubt appropriately, our faith and our witness is stronger for it. And you know, I realized something as I was preparing for this message. What I realized was that many of our stories today, the TVs and movies we watch, the music we listen to, major league sports, even the nightly news, many of the stories that shape our lives today are about doubt. Or doubt is a big factor in there. So, for example, it's baseball season right now. Who has a favorite baseball team? Raise your hand, right? Not all of us. That's all right. If baseball is not your game, substitute your own favorite team and your own favorite sport instead. But what's true with any sort of sports that you watch is that every game you watch is full of doubt and uncertainty, isn't it? Is the favorite team going to win, or will the underdogs pull it out and have a victory from behind? Will that one player, you know the one I'm talking about, make another boneheaded error? Or will that other player make another brilliant play? And really, it's the doubt that makes the game worth watching, because who wants to watch a game, a match, when you already know who's going to win? Not many of us. What makes our sports interesting is the doubt we have about the outcome. Another example, recently my wife and I have been watching a TV show. It's called Doctor Who. You may know of it, you may have watched it, you may like it, you may not. It's a pretty popular science fiction TV series, and it focuses on the travels of a mysterious man called the Doctor and his companion. And basically, every show follows the exact same formula. The Doctor and his companion show up in some random place, somewhere on Earth, somewhere in space, somewhere in time, and they're confronted by an alien danger that threatens the universe. And the rest of the episode answers the question, will they save the world again? Will they survive this time? And to the credit of the writers, you really always kind of find yourself doubting whether they can really do it this time, despite the fact that they have overcome the exact same kind of dangers in every single episode you've ever seen. There's still some doubt there, so they're good writers. And it's your doubt that makes the show interesting and exciting and suspenseful. It's your doubt that makes the show worth watching. And as we're talking about doubt, we see doubt in Jesus' story as well. Doubt is all over the story of Christ. And of course, as the reader, we're not supposed to be the ones doubting Jesus, but we do see that Jesus' story is full of people who doubt him. For example, Jesus taught his disciples again and again two things he told them. One, he said, I am going to die for the sins of the people. And two, he said, I would rise again from the dead. Jesus said he would rise again from the dead. And so what did his disciples do with these teachings? They doubted Jesus. They didn't really believe that he would rise from the dead. So let's take a look at our scripture reading for today. And this portion of scripture kind of picks up in the middle of the story, so I'll catch you up. It's a familiar story. Many of you know it. But what's happened so far is Jesus went to Jerusalem. He was crucified. He died. They put Jesus' body in a tomb, and they sealed it up. And then on the morning of the third day, Mary Magdalene goes to Jesus' tomb, and she discovers that it's empty. She runs and gets Peter and John, the disciples. They go together. Peter and John find the empty tomb as well, but they go home. And Mary is standing outside of Jesus' tomb, crying, wondering where her Lord's body is, when suddenly the risen Jesus appears to her. Jesus appears to her. They speak, and Jesus gives Mary the task of telling his disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead. Share this wonderful good news. And so then we pick up in verse 18, where we read at the very beginning that Mary Magdalene did just that. She went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told the disciples what Jesus had said to her. In the very next scene, Jesus himself goes and appears to the rest of his disciples. They're gathered together in a locked room. Jesus appears to them somehow, you know, he somehow goes through the door. He can do that in his spiritual body. He's God. And Jesus says, peace be with you, to his disciples. Jesus shows them his hands with the wounds from the nails. He shows them his side, and the disciples no longer doubt. They know that the Lord has risen. Well, except that is for Thomas, because as Scripture tells us, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the rest of the disciples. So the disciples go. They tell Thomas all about how Jesus has appeared to them. And Thomas replies in verse 25. He says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I can touch them, put my finger where the nails were, unless I put my hand into his side," that is where the centurion had stabbed Jesus with a spear, Thomas says, "I will not believe." And because Thomas didn't believe the report of the other disciples, many, many people have given Thomas the name Doubting Thomas, right? Because he doubted the report of the other disciples. Of course, it's not really fair to just call Thomas a doubter. If we want to be fair, then we also have to talk about doubting Peter and doubting John and so on. Because Thomas wasn't the only one who doubted Jesus. After all, Jesus had told both Peter and John as well that he would rise from the dead. And Peter and John went and saw the empty tomb. And then Mary Magdalene went back and told them that she had seen the risen Lord. And so then what do we find the disciples doing that Sunday morning before Jesus appears to them? Did they say, "Oh, we've heard he's risen from the dead. Let's go out into the street and share this good news with everyone we meet"? No. They're hiding. They're locked in a room because they're terrified of the Jewish leaders, because they were convinced that Jesus still lay dead in a grave. Thomas had no more doubt than the rest of them. You know, and the fact that all of the disciples doubted Jesus should really grab our attention, because we ourselves, we live in an age of doubt. In America today, we doubt everything, just about. We doubt politicians. I don't have to explain that one. We doubt doctors. In the last few years, we've heard all sorts of stories about people refusing to vaccinate their kids because they doubt doctors. We doubt scientists. Just think about the huge debates we've had in our country over things like global warming. Americans certainly doubt the church. Americans doubt our intentions often. People doubt our message. They doubt whether Jesus really is the only way to know God. Today in America, we doubt. We doubt and we doubt and we doubt. And the only thing we can be sure of, it seems, is that we can't be sure of anything at all. Doubt has become a way of life for many Americans. We live as if we can't be sure of anything, or we, at least we live as if we can be sure of very, very little. And when doubt becomes a way of life, when we are content to let our doubts remain within us, that's actually dangerous for us. Because doubt that remains unchecked can very quickly turn to unbelief. It's not good for us. But when we look at Thomas and the rest of the disciples, what do we see? There was doubt, to be sure, but they didn't remain in doubt. And that's the important part. At some point, they moved from doubt to belief, and then they set out to share their confidence in Christ. So what happened to them? What relieved them of their doubt? Well, it's pretty simple. Jesus proved himself to them. Jesus proved to them that he was alive. So Mary doubted Jesus' resurrection as she stood crying outside his tomb, and Jesus took her doubt away by showing himself to her. The disciples all doubted Jesus' resurrection by hiding together in a locked room that Sunday morning, and Jesus took their doubt away by appearing to all of them. Thomas doubted Jesus' resurrection by saying, "I won't believe unless I can feel the wounds in his hands and his side." And Jesus took Thomas' doubt away by appearing to him and saying to Thomas in verse 27, he said, "Put your finger here, Thomas, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side, stop doubting and believe, now that I'm here standing in front of you." And Thomas' response then is a response of faith. He says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas now believes. The doubt is gone. And this shows us that Jesus isn't afraid to give us evidence. Evidence of his power, evidence of his divinity, evidence of all he's done for us. So as Christians, when we have questions about our faith, we can ask those questions. We can seek the truth, and we can be confident that the evidence we find will reinforce our belief rather than destroy it. And this is actually something really unique about Christianity. If you look at world religions, this is something that sets Christianity apart, that Jesus has given us evidence to back up his claims. So, for example, if you look at the faith of Hinduism, Hinduism is really a philosophy with no one founder, and it offers no real evidence to support its claims about the way that life is and the way the world is. You just kind of have to practice it and hope it works out for you. Buddhism, Gautama Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, he simply taught and made no real effort to prove the truth of what he taught. Again, you simply had to practice it and hope for the best. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, Muhammad claimed that he was visited by an angel and given words to speak, prophetic words to share with people, but nobody else saw this. Nobody else could confirm it. You just had to take his word that he really had a word from the Lord. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, a little more recent, he claimed to have found a holy manuscript written on golden tablets. Only Joseph Smith could see these tablets, only Joseph Smith could translate them, and when he was done with them, he gave them back to an angel. So there is no physical evidence remaining of the foundation of their faith. And so if you practice any one of these faiths, or many others, and you start to doubt the truth of what they teach, what can you do? Well, not much. They can do nothing but say, well, believe harder. Try not to doubt. And I'm sure you can imagine how unsatisfying that answer would be. But Jesus is different because Jesus didn't do anything in secret. Jesus was always public. Jesus taught publicly. Jesus did great miracles and he did great healings publicly where everyone could see and verify. Jesus died publicly and Jesus rose from the dead publicly. He appeared publicly after his resurrection to many, many people. Jesus' own life proved the truth of what he said. Everyone could see what he did. They saw the power that was there, and that verified his words. And the people who saw this, then they went and they wrote down everything that had happened. They wrote down what Jesus taught and did. They left us a historical record. Most of that historical record is called the New Testament. We have it in our Bibles. But even when you look at other ancient writings, stuff that wasn't written by the disciples of Jesus, there's nothing there. We don't find anything that contradicts the historical account that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, that he did great miracles, that he healed people, that he died for everyone to see, and that he rose again from the dead to prove the truth of what he said. And so this is our evidence. This is our evidence that Jesus really rose from the dead, that he really is the Son of God. We have the historical record. We have the church that has passed this down for generations. The ancient people who saw all these things happen, they wrote it down for us, and they knew that that was what they were doing. You know, they weren't just taking notes that they kind of all, you know, someone put together later. John says this in verse 31, the very end of our reading today, where John says, "All these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." He was writing down everything that Jesus had said and done so that we would know that Jesus is the Lord. So, doubt by itself isn't a bad thing. Questions are okay. But the lesson for us today is that we aren't meant to remain in doubt. Jesus is willing to prove himself to us, just as he proved himself to Mary and to the disciples and to Thomas. Jesus has proved himself to us through the accounts we have from these people. So if we doubt the life or the teachings of Jesus, you know, if we doubt any part of this body of faith that we call Christianity, we can and we should ask some questions. We should seek the truth. So how do we do this? Well, a good way to start is to pray. Pray and ask the Lord to show you who he is. And, you know, we talk about, you know, we shouldn't test the Lord, but that's not really what this is. If you have an earnest question, an earnest prayer, and you say, "Jesus, I don't know who you are. Show me. Jesus, I don't know whether to believe what's written in this book, in this Bible. Show me the truth." I believe Jesus will answer. But don't stop there, because there's so much more that you can do then. You can study the historical record of Jesus' life, the New Testament, and other ancient writings. You can learn about how the church wrote all these things down and preserved them. You can, well, talk to your pastor. That's always a good idea. There's someone here to help you through these sort of questions. You know, there are as many things as we can do and learn as there are questions that you can come up with. But the one thing you shouldn't do, the one thing you shouldn't do with all of your doubt, the one thing you shouldn't do with your questions is just sit on them. Just live in them. Don't let that doubt settle in. Don't let that doubt become a way of life. Don't let those questions nag you and nag you and nag you without ever seeking an answer, because Jesus has nothing to hide. Go ahead and ask those questions. And really, the freedom to ask questions is a great blessing. That hit me this week. Let me share a story really quick as we wrap up. As most of you know, some of our young people spent this week staying downtown. We had a mission trip. We went downtown, stayed at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, and then our youth worked with folks from New Life Lutheran Church. In the mornings, I was there with them. In the mornings, we did an outdoor VBS they called Party in the Park. We went to the Autumn Woods apartment complex. It's there on South Anthony Avenue. We hung out there, we sang songs, we had a short lesson about Jesus each morning. We made crafts and we played games. We just kind of enjoyed life with them and had fun. And for the most part, the kids who we spent our mornings with all came from the families of Burmese Muslims. And it was interesting that I got to talk to three young women a little bit more than some others. Their names were Saw, Mary, and Saki. The second day that we were there in the park, we had some free time after making crafts. I had my guitar there, and so we just kind of sat in a little circle. We played songs, we sang, and in between, I took the opportunity to ask and say, well, do you guys know what these lyrics mean? Do you know that we're really singing about the love of God for us, right? We're singing about the love of God for us that he's shown us in Jesus. And one of the girls said something that really surprised me. She said, well, you know, we can talk about this, but at home, we're not allowed to say the word God. We have to say Allah instead. And I realized that their parents, or maybe their aunt, it seemed like it was their aunt more than the parents, they didn't want these girls saying God because they knew that Christians pray to God too. And so if you say God instead of Allah, then you've got to ask the question, well, which God are we praying to? Who are we really praying to? But if you only ever say Allah, you kind of keep Christianity out of it. You never have to answer that question. You never have to face that doubt. Their parents didn't want them asking that question. Well, the next day these girls came back, but they were acting kind of strangely because they would hang out over on the very edge of the playground under a big tree where there was some shade, but they wouldn't ever come and join the big group of kids in the center and take part in all the activities. But at the same time, they weren't like afraid of us. They didn't run away or anything like that when I would go over to talk with them or play with them or when any of our helpers would. And finally, I was wondering why they did this, when finally one of them said, well, we can't go over to the center of the playground because yesterday we got in trouble for singing Christian songs. Our aunt saw us, and we got in trouble. So we can play over here because when we stay on this side of the playground, our aunt can't see us from her window. So we're safe here. They came back to spend time with us, even though they weren't supposed to be spending time with Christians, which that was kind of cool for us, right, to see the Holy Spirit moving. But you see, they weren't allowed to doubt at home. They weren't allowed to do anything or learn anything or spend time with Christians, anything that might cause them to doubt their faith, because doubt would lead to questions. And those were questions that their faith tradition couldn't answer. But Jesus is different. Because Jesus has the truth, Jesus tells us he is the truth. And as Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospel of John, when you know Jesus, the truth will set you free. From sin, from slavery, from all sorts of stuff. The truth will set you free. So Jesus welcomes you and me with all of our doubts and questions, and he promises us that he is faithful. He will answer all of our questions. He will quiet all of our doubts. When you seek earnestly, just like Thomas, Jesus will move you from doubt to belief. Amen.